morning, Talmidim. This week's Parsha, Parsha's Mishpatim. Many of the Rishonim, Mefarshim, ask a question about the connection between last week's Parsha to this week's Parsha, and about the connection between last week's Parsha and next week's Parsha with this Parsha in between. So last week's Parsha, Parsha's Yisrael, finishes off right after Kabbalah Satayra. We heard from the Manal already, somebody, Chutum of Hawaii. Right after Kabbalah Satayra, it starts talking about the Mizbeach and how to make a ramp, not steps. So last week's Parsha finishes off Mizbeach Adama Tasali. After Kabbalah Satayra, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael you should make a Mizbeach. If you're going to make him, it talks about the Mizbeach. Building a Mizbeach. Then right afterwards, this week's Pasha starts off with all the dinim, the halachas, and evadivri. And the next week's Pasha goes to gathering all the material that was needed to build a Mishkan and build a Mizbeach, etc. So what's the shaykhis between the Mizbeach of last week to the dinim and the halachas of Mishpatim this week? And shouldn't the Parshas Yisroel be connected to Parshas Truma, where you finish off about talking about the Mizbeach, and you go right into, in order to build the Mizbeach, you have to gather the material that's needed, so go to Parshas Truma, and then have Mishpatim either before or after. Probably after, because Yisroel is Kabbalah Satar, right after Kabbalah Satar, or before you prepare them with the halachas. Either way, what's the Seder of Yisroel, Mishpatim, and Truma? Seemingly it should have been Yisroel and Truma right next to each other, and then Mishpatim either before or after. So there's a lot of psutim of why the connections between the parshias. But I wanted to discuss two, which are really, they go hand in hand. Parshas Mishpatim starts off with a very sad case. Someone that unfortunately can't afford his basic needs. He wanted something, he needed something, and he couldn't afford it. And unfortunately, it's a big nisayon. When there's something that you want or there's something that you need and you can't afford to get it, unfortunately, people are faced with a tremendous nisayon of taking something that's not theirs. And they end up taking it. They're not able to be oimed ben nisayon. Just that you should be aware of, there's also a clinical disease that people take things that are not theirs. Sometimes someone takes something because he wants something so desperately and he can't get it, so he takes it. Or he wants it and he can't afford to buy it, so he takes it. Then there is something, a clinical piece, where some people that could afford it, they could get it. It's easy for them to get it. But it's just like an impulsive act where they see something that they want, they just grab it and it's theirs. So here we're talking about someone, for whichever reason, ends up taking something that's not his and ends up being caught. And he has to sell himself to be an avid, avid ivri. So the Torah wants to tell us, right before we're going to collect donations to build a Mishkan, you should know that the money that we're going to be giving to build a Mishkan has to be Heiliger money. It has to be money that you earned in a kosher way. Not money that you got through non-kosher avenues. Not money that you got because you did a shtickle, you did a shtick, you did something that's not legal, you did something. When we're going to be building the Mishkan, first, let me teach you the halachas of money. Let me teach you the halachas of business. Let me teach you these halachas that you should know how to earn real money, kosher money. And then we can tell you about giving the donation, giving the truma to build a Mishkan, because it has to be from Heiliger money. Along with that comes how to treat someone that unfortunately got to such a low that he needed to steal, or he couldn't control his impulses and he stole. How to treat him? There's halachas how to treat an eved. Chazal tell us that if the owner only has one pillow, he has to give that pillow to the eved. You have to treat the eved better than you treat yourself. Just imagine, we're talking about a thief. We're talking about someone that stole something. They had to sell him to become an eved. And Chazal tell us that this person that did something so terrible as stealing, you still have to be respectful to him. He's still a human being. So respectful that if you only have one piece of steak, you give it to the Eved and you don't eat steak that day. But one second, I earned my money. Not only I earned my money to be able to buy the Eved. And I have to treat the Eved better And it goes back to what we said the other week. When we put out the bread to the birds, when we put out the lakelof tashlicho noisay, it's a work on ourselves to be that giving, to be the giving person, to work on our midos. So if a person bought an Eved Ivri, the halachas of the Eved Ivri is to be so careful with the Eved that I work on myself, that I give away for myself, to feed someone, to give to someone that couldn't be Eved Ben Asayin, couldn't control his impulses. Recently, there was one of the big chain stores, Walmart, that was faced with a tremendous challenge. And a lot of the retail stores are faced with this challenge. It's called shoplifting. Many people, unfortunately, come to the stores, and they don't have money. Yet, either they want or they need things. And they end up shoplifting. They steal from the stores. Now, what ends up happening is that besides the fact that the store is not making money, right? They're losing money because people steal from their stores. But when the end of the day, when they realize that they're not making enough money, they're paying so much money for the items, and it's not bringing them in money, they have to hire the prices of each item. So when they hire the prices of each item, everyone has to pay more money because some individuals stole from the store. So you have these people that come into stores, either, again, it's an impulse thing, or it's a sickness, or it's they can't afford it. They come with these big sweatshirts, they're wearing big sweatshirts. They go up and down the aisle, and they see something that they like, and they take an item, they stick into the sweatshirt in this pocket, sweatshirt in this pocket, under the sweatshirt, over the sweatshirt. And with that, they walk out of the store, and they could be sometimes walking out of the store with a few $100 worth of stuff under the sweatshirts. And that's called shoplifting. They walk out, they go into the car, and no one knows. So many of the stores have security guards. Many of the stores have, even Jewel has, Jewel over here. They have, when you go to the register, you see there's upstairs another floor that has full of glass windows, which is tinted windows. You can't really see what's going on in there, but there they can see what's going on in the store. So they have security people that keep on watching the people to make sure that nobody takes things that doesn't belong to them. In addition, they have cameras in every aisle to make sure. Now, you know how much money they're investing to protect, to make sure that they're not losing money because of shoplifters? So this one Walmart store realized that they have a tremendous amount, that neighborhood, tremendous amount of shoplifters. So they're going to be piloting a new program, how to protect themselves and how to make back the money from shoplifters. They're going to offer a new service. The new service is a car wash service while you shop. So they have a lot of rows of parking. So they're going to corner off one entire parking area. There, there's going to be an attendant. Anyone that parks their car there gets their car washed while they're shopping in the store. So the attendant gives you a ticket. It's like a valet ticket. You get the ticket. When you're done your shopping, you pay for the car wash. Let's say the car wash is $10. It's a hand car wash, $10. And the person at the register has to stamp that you paid the $10 for the... And then you give back to the attendant the ticket with the stamp that you paid for the... So the money that they're going to be making from the car washes, they're going to be hopefully gaining some revenue from the lost money of stealing. Yet the ones that are going to be washing the cars are going to be the shoplifters. If they catch a shoplifter, then this shoplifter now has to spend the day washing cars in their parking lot. So they have special uniform. It's an orange jumpsuit that says on it, Walmart washing. They're going to be providing sponges and soap and schmatters to dry off. And people are going to be washing people's cars. Anyone that's caught shoplifting is by law going to have to wash their cars. So like that, for every car that they wash, they make money and they're not paying for the people that are washing cars. Now, but etzim, it's a tremendous design. A person that, Nebuch, can you imagine the guy that stole, and his next door neighbor comes shopping, and now he's the one that's going to be washing his next door neighbor's car. Okay, you're one of those. You're one of those. Can you imagine the bizayon of such a person? Now, the person should never be in such a situation, such a nisayon. But the embarrassment that this person is now washing his next door neighbor's car with his jumpsuit on, an orange jumpsuit that looks like he's a prisoner, washing cars. So it's a nice chop that Walmart is going to be piling out and piloting in one of their stores. And if it works, many other stores may adapt to it as well. Torah tells us, a person has an evet ivri, how careful and how sensitive we have to be to the person. It's bad enough that he had to be sold as an evet. And granted, at the time, it was a regular thing that people had avodim. Yet when it comes to treating him, chulila, you don't belittle the person. You don't embarrass the person. You don't make him feel bad. The Torah works very differently than the law. We're very careful with every person's dignity. So again, shoplifting, taking money, doesn't have to be shoplifting, but taking money, not being erlich with money, is something that's a big nisayon. And the Torah wants to prepare us that before we're going to be building that mishkan, make sure that the money that you're going to be giving, the truma that you're going to be giving, understand the halachas of money, understand the chosh mishpat, understand all the halachas that entails to make sure that it's clean money. And only then could you give that nedava. That's why Parshas Mishpatim is needed in between. The second akuda that goes along the same lines, and Parshas Yisra comes up with an unbelievable system. Vatasech said there should be a hierarchy, there should be a first level, the next level. When people come to ask shilas, not every shilas has to go to top tier. You can ask the entry level. A whole system how to deal with the shilas, the questions, the halachas that come up. And that system up until today is implemented in all governments, in all courts. And there is that system all over the place. That system is still working today. Torah wants to tell us that in order for the system to be a system at work, there has to be a certain level of halachas. There has to be rules. There has to be an understanding. There has to be boundaries. There has to be a respect. There has to be how do you deal with people? What are the halachas of dealing with people? What are the... So right after that system that Yisrael came up with, the Torah comes to tell us, wait, before we implement that system, we're going to have to practice a big project. The big project is going to be building the Mishkan. Building the Mishkan is going to take people that are going to collect the donations, people that are going to sort the donations, people that are going to store the donations, people that are going to be in charge of building, people are going to be in charge of helping the building. There's so many departments that there will be needed for that hierarchy, for that system to work. So Chazal want to tell us that before we get to this major project of building the Mishkan, that everyone understands the halachas of Ben Adam L'Chaveroi. Everyone understands the halachas, how to be respectful. You understand the halachas of Dina Mamanis. You understand Cheshimish, but Ebenezer, Yeridei. You understand all the halachas. You understand Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basa, the Masechtas that all come out of Parshas Mishpatim. So many details of halachas, of how to deal with another person. Only after you know all the halachas, then you can go and build that Mishkan with the system of the tier system. It's applicable right now. Because we're going into, like the Manal said, Purim Shtick is coming up. Purim Shtick is a big system. Purim Shtick is a big avoida. It's a Heilig Arbet. The reason why it's Heilig Arbet, Avada Purim is a big, a Heilig day. But it's a time where we have the opportunity that the Talmidim work on a project. Normally, most projects that are done in the yeshiva, it's the yeshiva, it's the anhala, it's the rabbeim that create the project, and Talmidim do it. Here, when it comes to the Purim Shtick, it's the Talmidim that plan the project. The Talmidim that plan, what are we going to be doing? How are we going to be creative? How are we going to be unique? How's it going to be exciting for everybody? It gives the opportunity for very many Talmidim that may not have the opportunity during the year to shine to that level through their creativity, through their Bnei Adam Chaveroi, through their Midas Tovas, to be able to shine and put together something beautiful. The past two nights, the Beis Yaakov High School put together a play, their production. Part of their production is it's a system that works. They have some of the girls that are in drama, some of the girls that are in dance, some of the girls that are in R&P, whatever, I'm not exactly sure what it's called, but they have different departments of the play. Now, if a girl that's supposed to be in drama says, nope, I don't want to be in drama, I want to be in dance. Or someone says, I don't want to be this, I don't want to be... That could break the system. If there was a system that was made up, and there's someone in charge of the system, and the person in charge says, you're best to be in this role, the production was an unbelievable production, and everyone enjoyed it. It was such a beautiful... That's the feedback that I heard at home. Because the system worked. They prepared everybody for the system. If we're going to be making a system, and our system now is going to be the Purim Shtick Day, which, as we said, is a Heiliger Day, we prepare to elevate our simcha through creativity, through working together. We have to make sure that the system works. And if there's a system in place, if there's a representative, if there's someone that's in the, if there's different groups in the class that are going to be in charge of the planning, then the one that's in charge of purchasing shouldn't be part of the plan. There should be very clear roles of what everybody's part of. Otherwise, this system could lead to machloikis. Otherwise, it could lead to hurt feelings. If machloikis comes out of it and hurt feelings comes out of it and someone feels down about it, then the whole project wasn't worth it. The Torah had to stop in between Parshas Yisroi and Parshas Truma to tell us Parshas Mishpatim simply how to deal with other people, how to be respectful to other people, how to be in a momentous, how to make sure not to damage, not to hurt, and so many halachas that come out of Parshas Mishpatim because we're going into a big project. Again, I'm not comparing the Purim Shtick to the building of the Mishkan, but definitely it has to be Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. It has to be everyone together. It has to be a teamwork. It has to be a respectful work. It has to be work where everyone understands their boundaries. What am I part of? Which part am I part of? Am I part of those that are going to be designing it? Am I part of those that are going to be drawing? Am I part of those that are going to be displaying? Am I part of those that are going to be collecting? God, and there's going to be probably some Dina Mominus, hopefully not too much Dina Mominus. Do we make sure that all the Dina Mominus come from a good place? If you're giving money towards it, do you have permission from your parents to give that money? Years ago in the old building, before we moved here, many, many years ago, we used to have a vending machine. A vending machine, people would put money to buy snacks. So they stopped the vending machine. One of the reasons why they stopped the vending machine, because suddenly a lot of people started losing money. Oh, I had money in my locker, it disappeared. I had money in my desk, it disappeared. I had money in my pocket, it disappeared. And then we got phone calls from parents. I had money in my pocketbook, it disappeared. I had money in my drawer, it disappeared. A lot of money disappeared. And we tracked the disappearing money, and suddenly, the more money that disappeared, the more money the vending machine received. And again, it's, as we said, it's an assignment, especially for kids. It's an assignment. The kids may not know exactly. This is not yours, you don't touch it. This is not your domain. Don't touch it. That's not your part of your property. That's not part of your project. You stick to the project that was given to you, that was agreed upon. So in order to take away that assignment, we took away the vending machines. And Baruch Hashem, kamat that we heard issues about money up until the some soda cans got into a locker and then it came back up, or then trading, or whatever else, other things that happened, that small things that come up. But again, everyone has an assignment, especially children that may not have that part of the mind developed yet fully, may not exactly understand the boundaries. So Rabbi said, we look forward to Purim Shtick. The Rabbeim, the Anhalos Hashiva, everyone is excited for Purim Shtick. It's a beautiful time where everyone has the ability to shine, to bring out some, to add some creativity to the building, whether it's to your classroom, whether it's to the smedish, it's the hallways. But what we have to remember, that Yisrael implemented a system that works. If there's going to be a system in your classroom, stick to that system. You're part of whatever department, stick to that department. Don't decide, I'm going to have a secret meeting between three other people and we're going to break that system. Not everyone is going to be. You make sure that you include everyone that's part of your system. Whatever department you're doing, make sure everyone is included. No one should have to feel bad. No one should be made to feel bad. Everyone should feel good about what they're doing. Let's treat everybody with respect, because even the thief that never had to be sold has to be treated with so much care. Baruch Hashem, we're dealing here with a room full of tzaddikim. Avad, alach es kama v'kama, how much care and how much respect and how much sensitivity we have to deal with when we're going to be working on such a project. So the money has to be kosher. We have to make sure that it's coming from a good place. We have to learn Parshas Mishpatim to understand the halachas, how to treat other people. And then we can get to the Vayikchul Truma, that we can build the Mikdash Ma'at. We can build this Mikdash Ma'at into something beautiful. That a Purim Shtick that's going to enhance the Talmidim's creativity. That's going to give us that that excitement to go until Purim and after Purim, based on the work that everybody put into such heiliger work.